And we are somehow live. It's been a bit chaotic. Let me see if I get this right. It
Been
is,
fun.
it's been fun. Just the two. No, that's tomorrow. It is the 31st of July, the last day in July.
Yes.
We are rapidly approaching autumn and summer, depending where we are. It is, what are we doing now? We're doing lunch with Janita and Frank. Janita is in the driving seat. The less I say, the better it is for all of humanity. We start with one of Janita's world famous laughs because that's what makes the world turn. There you go. On cue, there it is.
Yes.
Press the button and she starts laughing. This is the world of Breeder. It doesn't get much crazier. It's all yours, Janita.
It's a good start. Okay, so thank you, Rosie, Natalie, Frank. We are going to have some fun. We are going to think of some memories, mostly about markets or maybe your favorite cafe or favorite place that you like to go to. And we are going to remember the smells, the sounds, the colors of these different places, different markets. So you can think about any local spot that you like. Like I mentioned, a market, a shop, a cafe, maybe a restaurant that you like to go to, and use your senses to tell us a story about what this place smells like when you walk in for the first time. And also, what colors do you see? What is it decorated like? The sounds that fill the space, maybe people chatting or laughing, music playing. There's a lot of places here that plays the rugby on TV, so we hear the rugby and people cheering while sitting down in a restaurant. And then also, if there's a specific corner or maybe a specific table or a specific place that you like to go to in this local spot of yours, and maybe even the people who work there, if you know them, if you have spoken to them, faces you always see there. So tell us about your favorite local spot, a market, a shop, a cafe, and use your senses. The smells, what you see, what you hear, to tell us a story. Rosie, would you like to start? Okay.
Okay. I like this place because this place it's really the place is beautiful. It's a cafeteria, yes. And I remember when I was there for the first time, I asked for a coffee and call it coffee mocha. It was a delicious and different coffee with a chocolate tablet inside, yeah, and a piece of not cake and not like a snack, and this place at the moment there wasn't a song, a music. But there are a lot of beautiful people sitting on the table and talking about, I don't know, their life, law, and spend some good times. And the attenders was really kind and gentle. What else? And this place is big. It's near my home. Near my home, there are a beautiful avenue, beautiful street, and this avenue is like Paulista in São Paulo. Here in São Paulo has a family called Paulista. And for example, when foreigners came to Brazil, they love to go this avenue because you have a lot of options like coffee, like a restaurant, like a place to dance, and these streets like it's similar Paulista Avenue, and they smell when you enter in this place. Oh my God, it's so delicious, they smell, you know. And I think this place, when you start to talking about that, this is it. It was my first view in my mind. Yes. So I when I oh, how can I say? Every Sunday, at the night, I went with my ex-boyfriend there. It's really nice.
Okay. Do you still go there? Do you still go there or not?
No, oh, unfortunately, I don't know why, and I don't know if they changed the address, but some I think some maybe 2 months or 3 months ago, there wasn't there more.
Oh, it wasn't
But
there.
yes, but we have other cafeterias he near here, nice too. But this place, the name is France, like Frank, but the name is France Cafe.
No.
Friends
No,
Cafe. The name
No.
France Cafe, and this place is let me see here. Okay, in Portuguese, I think Portuguese is que see. When you have a lot of stores with the same name, franquia. I don't know this in English. For
Franchise,
example,
franchises.
yes. And it's really famous here in Brazil, and it's really nice. The smell, it's pretty good.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. So that kind of reminds me of a place that I used to go to, when I went dancing on a Saturday night.
Oh.
Or Friday night or Saturday night, but usually Friday nights are better than Saturday nights. So we have a place called the Barnyard Theatre. So it is actually a theatre. They have artists performing there. They have different, I've seen a burlesque show. I've seen a ABBA tribute show. There was a Queen tribute show I also saw. So people wear beautiful costumes and they sing or pretend to sing the ABBA songs and the Queen songs, and it was very, very nice. The same with the burlesque show as well. That was also very nice. But on a Friday night, they would move all the tables aside, and it had a wooden floor. And then they would play Afrikaans music. So
Play what?
we they
Cause
play Afrikaans music.
African music.
Yes. So then we call it windsurfing, but then when you dance with your partner.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. So that was it was yes, Frank?
Was this, real dancing, or was this
Real
sort of,
dancing.
so,
Not
pop?
clubbing. Not clubbing.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Like two-step and waltz and what was the other? I can't
Tango,
remember.
foxtrot.
I can't do the
So,
I'll yes.
you learned to dance properly.
I can. I wouldn't say I'm very good at it, but I know how
Wow.
to.
Yes, me too, and I love to dance. Oh, it's really nice.
Okay, I thought.
Yes, really nice. When I was younger, I always went to dance with my friends, and we went in a dance in a not club, but in a place that everybody dance. And oh my God, this phase in my life, it was really, really nice because. Because and I have contact with some friends like that time, and oh my God, it's really, really nice. We went on not on Friday but on Saturday, and we danced all the night. I remember we went like 10 p.m. until 3, 4 a.m. dancing, and oh my God. Eight decade, I think it 80 decade, right? Can I say that?
Like
It,
to 80s music.
yes,
Decade. Oh, the decades. Okay, yes.
yes,
80s
yeah.
music.
Oh, it's really, really, really nice. Really, really nice. Muito bom.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. So I used to go there on a Friday night. It was usually busier than a Saturday night. So as you walk in, you can hear the loud music playing. You can hear people laughing. The bar was also very busy. You had to wait a long time in the queue to get a drink, but we would usually do that and then and then find a table where we can leave our things. It was actually quite safe there. And then we would dance until our feet hurt.
Yes.
Also, 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. And
Yes.
in the winter, they had a very big boma outside. So as you walk into this place, you can smell the fire that's burning somewhere. But very cozy. It was very nice, even inside. It was warm and cozy and dark. Just the lights. It didn't look like a disco on the inside with all these beautiful lights, but it was mostly like clothes dancing, not disco music.
Yeah, it's like me. It's really, really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you are talking about that, and I can imagine you dance. Yeah. It's
Exactly what
really.
you imagine.
I don't know because you are talking about that, and I am seeing my, I am
Your
I can.
imagination.
Yes, and when I did this too, it's really, really nice. Yes,
Yes.
with my colleagues, and these colleagues I studied with them when I was I don't know, maybe 7 years old, and we were almost, no, I think 5 people, and that studied when we were child, when we were children, and until now we have friend, we have relation, yeah, muito bom.
Oh, you are still friends.
Yes. We don't see all the time because everybody works a lot. Everybody has
Their
their life.
life, their life.
Yeah, but on the birthday and on Christmas, hello, Jose. Happy birthday and happy Christmas, and our relationship is it's really nice. And I very quickly at my job last year, I was working in my table, and suddenly Adriana appeared. Dri, what are you doing here, dear? I'm working here. Really? And we studied when we were children, and she's a police
police policewoman or policeman?
No, police woman. Yeah, she's
Policewoman.
a yeah, and she works at the same place with me at Board of Education, and she takes care from the this part at schools, for example, when children make some wrong thing, she goes there to help. Yeah, and when we see each other, oh my God, you are here. So she's because we are friends, but for example, yeah, she lives here in Guarulhos too, but we didn't see all the time, right? Because she works in the other department inside Board of Education, and it's really nice, really nice. Oh, sorry,
Okay.
I'm talking a lot.
I think next I'm going to give Natalie a turn to tell me about your favorite market or maybe a restaurant or cafe that you like to go to.
There were two markets that comes to my mind. One is in was in the La Réunion Island, the French island, which in the Indian Ocean, and it was a very, very colored market. I remember a lot of different color, very vivid, very marked colored. The red, the yellow, the orange, the green, it was really very colored. And with exotic fruits and vegetables, there was a craft also, but it was not local craft. The craft came from Madagascar. There was not a lot of La Réunion craft. All was imported, so we can found baskets, household linen, ebony wood sculptures, for example, or clothing, but it was Malgache, Madagascar. The only one thing I remember, which was really local, was the arranged room. I don't know if you know that. It's a drink with a lot of alcohol, and there are different different arranged room with different fruits, with mixed sometimes, and the food was often Asian. It was Asian food because the island was very cosmopolitan. And the second market was in Seoul, in Korea, where I live currently. And it's a very special market because you cannot find a lot of fruits and vegetable and what we can find in the market. But it is like a food street. There is a lot of stalls, very small, very basic, and it's exclusively stand by women, generation after generation. This is always only women, and they can cook very Korean food. So you sit on precarious benches or stools, just a counter tip board around the cooker and our dishes. And this is not expensive. This is very typical. And you can taste the Korean food and a lot of different meals. It's very very funny. There is not a lot of sound, not a lot of voice, because in Korea it's very calm, very silence, and people are used to it without speaking, so it's very quiet. But there is a lot of tourists, and so I think it's tourists which are more noisier, sonder, yeah.
Noisier.
But it's very, it's a typical atmosphere. Yeah. At each visit, when family and friends come to visit us in Seoul, I drive us on this market.
Bring them to this market, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Hello, Monica.
Hello. Sorry, I had to be somewhere and got caught in Adelaide traffic. It's near where Frank used to live, but now the traffic there is a bit crazy. In Adelaide, there's a really great market that's been there forever and sells all, it's right in the middle of the city. It's called the Adelaide Central Market because it's in the centre of the city. It's got food from everywhere. One of the first continental shops, Frank might remember it, was called Pretzels. And they had all sorts of cheese. I remember they had tinned eel, which I thought was pretty cool, and like all the German condiments and Dr. Oetker things and various, you know, different sausages and salamis. And it's probably the first place in Adelaide. I remember as a child, and they had a little coffee shop at the back, but they had all really nice things from all over the world. But this is, you know, going back 70s. So, you know, now there's lots more places like that, but they had all the various cheeses from France and everywhere, and the small goods and like German pudding mix and everything. But the market's great, and they've got like coffee shops there, and you can buy fresh fish and chicken, and you can have freshly ground coffee, and from all different nationalities, you can eat there for food. Like there's a paella place and there's a Russian place. I haven't been there for a little while, but it's not much fun going there on your own. And, you know, all the freshly baked bread. And they've also got an Asian food court. And right next to it is Chinatown. So where they obviously have a lot of Asian restaurants or Chinese restaurants. But the market runs between two streets, Gouger Street and Grote Street. And Gouger Street has got every sort of different restaurant you could think of from every nationality. There's Argentinian, Chinese, the dumpling place. And it's really great. But, you know, when people come from interstate or you buy a whole fish there, and it's just really lovely. And haven't been there for about 2 years, or fresh flowers and all sorts of delicious food, but, you know, it's very cosmopolitan, and now you just get everything there from all over the world. Health food shops where you sort of measure out your own different seeds or whatever you'd like, and a few nut shops. But it's just really nice. And Asian supermarkets, because we've got lots of Asians here. But it's just really nice, but it's just all the different smells there, and freshly ground coffee. So, but lots of cheese places. I think one's called the Smelly Cheese Place or Smelly Cheese Shop. And it's just really lovely. And like Lucia's, which is Italian, we had sauce from there yesterday for dinner. It's an institution since I was a kid. You know, it's been there. This Italian, that was probably the first place. And I remember going there as a kid and having little pizzas and. But now they're sort of, you can buy their various tomato sauces in nice supermarkets here. And we had that last night with Brossa Valley pasta. Nonna's meatballs with the Lucia's Arrabbiata sauce. And no, the Central Market's great. And it's just an institution. And of course, on the other side are all the restaurants. But there used to be this lady, it was just like this Chinese veggie shop. and you'd buy all the various Chinese vegetables, and this lady would be able to add it up all up in her head. She was like a computer. This older Chinese lady, but you know, she didn't have a calculator there. She'd add it all up, and you know, you'd have a bunch of bok choy and something else, and she'd just add it all up, and it was really nice. It's just a really good atmosphere.
Does pretzels still exist?
No, and they've got a T2 there now or something, or a coffee, they've got a few T2 just have. Oh, I think what is there is Gewürz House. I referred to someone which has all the different herbs, and I bought, you can buy Bratkartoffel mix and Glühwein mix, and they also do it online. So that's all different herbs, but it's called Gewürz House, which is spice house in English. But there's lots of other shops now that sell all the sort of things that pretzels did, you know, the Avar and all the different foreign cheeses from overseas.
It was actually run by Austrians, I think. I don't think they were German. I think they were
Austrians. Yeah, I remember bumping into them years later somewhere, but yeah, whatever the gentleman there was called. But it was just
not Mr.
really cool as a kid.
And they used to give us occasionally, when we would buy cold cuts, you know, the tradition in
Germany
was they would give you a slice of, I don't know, whatever Wurst you were buying. So that was nice.
Or a Vienna sausage.
Yeah, Vienna Würstchen and stuff like that. But the thing with pretzels was, of course, that was the one source of Christmas cookies and German Christmas baking.
Oh, yeah.
The Stollen and all that.
Now you go to Aldi to get Stollen.
Yeah.
But yeah, all those lovely
exactly
gingerbread biscuits, Pfeffernüsse.
The container would come about November, and so the container that they had ordered, the container load of Christmas baking that they had ordered, would come about November. And if you missed it, that was it. You would not get any German Christmas cookies or Stollen or whatever there is until 1 year later. I think my mother actually did miss it once, and she was mortified.
Wow.
how can you have Christmas without proper Stollen? It was like,
could she make her own?
I think it's very difficult to make Stollen. I don't know. I think we just
it's got almond in the middle, so it would be rather laborious.
It's quite complex.
The supermarkets have all those things, like even Coles has the Pfeffernüsse from Germany. And gingerbread but it was sort of ahead of its time. It was the first one sort of to have all those great things.
Definitely. It was a nice place.
So, Monica, you mentioned the Glühwein herbs. Do you also make a lot of Glühwein during winter?
No, I haven't for ages. In Germany, there's like Feuerzangen and Borle, which I bought the not machinery, but the thing back. It's a big pot with a heat source underneath, but on top there's like a rack, and you can get like a cone of sugar. So it's like, and you pour alcohol over it and light it, and it falls into the wine. So it's very sweet and very drinkable. I remember when I was about 20, we were in Germany, it was New Year's Eve, and I was ready to go skiing at 9 a.m, but I was the only one. This Gewürz House, they have herbs for everything you could think of, like, you know, for Bratkartoffel, for the potatoes, and all these little things, everything you could imagine. Haven't it last Christmas, so I'll have to wait a few more months to get Glühwein. I sort of had my share last Christmas at the Christmas markets.
To put it into context, Monica, so Janita drank her first Glühwein a week ago or something like that.
Almost a week ago, yes.
Yeah, she never had it before. And I sent her a recipe at the beginning of her winter because she was complaining how cold it was. And I said, well, here's some liquid central heating. And I sent her our recipe for it. And I never heard anything. And then I got a picture. Oh, and she went to a church market in the middle of their winter. It was cold and dark and so on. And there's this a hand poking into the picture with a mug of Glühwein. I thought, oh, finally, she's reached civilization.
When it was near Frank's, like Strasbourg, it's very hard to get the thing is you collect the China mugs. That's the thing at the Christmas markets, but a lot of them are plastic. Mm. So like there was about two stalls in Strasbourg that had their real ones, that you'd get the glue vein and yeah, like they had various ones. Some were better than others, but no, it was good.
So do you still have glühwein even if it's hot during your winter?
Well, it's not. It was 4 degrees this morning at 7 o'clock when I let the dogs out, so it's not really warm. But and I haven't made glühwein. Otherwise, the trouble is if you make it and there's only two of you at home, you'd have to drink it.
Yes. Sorry, I meant for Christmas. So it's hot on Christmas.
Oh, Christmas. No, definitely not for Christmas here. Christmas, when it's 40 degrees, it doesn't have the same effect. People rather have a beer or something.
Yes.
But people who go skiing, like when people are in the snow at the moment, they have glühwein when you go there and après-ski. But yeah, it's not sort of a Christmas drink here.
Okay.
It wouldn't have the desired effect.
Okay. I also just remembered you mentioned last year you went to Frank for Christmas.
And I think, we had the secret family recipe.
Sorry?
Was it your secret family recipe? Was that glühwein or something else?
No. The secret family recipe is Mary's chicken liver pâté.
The pâté.
Not even her daughter has that recipe. And
I knew what there was one secret recipe from something. I thought, secret family recipe?
No. That is, I have this husband-wife privilege, so I have the privilege. I could do it, but I'd probably get excommunicated, hung, drawn, quartered, and shot if it ever came to light. So that's a state secret, primarily like because Mary doesn't want to actually reveal the source of this recipe, which is so banal that it would surprise everybody. But her family have made numerous chicken liver pâté competitions, taste testing, and so on. And Mary has always come out on top of that one. Yeah, I'm getting a guided tour of Rosie's house. I'll just switch off the mute. Voila. Okay. So that is the glühwein, the mulled wine glühwein. We call it vin chaud, the French version. Yeah, it's much more civilized vin chaud. That's traveled around the world. It's gone to South Africa, and it's finally been. Was tested, so
yes, I made it. So I had it at the market first, someone else made it, and then on Saturday I made my own. Okay, so Frank, do you want to share something about a market?
Well, I was kind of,
or a place, a coffee shop,
not so much a cop, but I think I need Monica's help on this one because she touched on it with the glühwein, and I think Monica is probably she should get a badge for this, the breeder expert on Christmas markets. Because they are they're almost a global phenomenon now. I have difficulty imagining a Christmas market in Johannesburg at 30 odd degrees. It doesn't quite gel with me.
we have one in November, and then there's one that we also went to, I think it was 2 years ago. So they do a whole festival of lights. We do have some pictures somewhere. Even though it's very hot summer.
So Monica, you're going to have to help me in this because you are much better at this than I am. But sort of imagine a really big square somewhere in the middle of town. It's 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the evening. It's dark. It's cold. So it's about anywhere between -5 and +3 degrees. You've been in the office or at work all day, and the Christmas markets become a social gathering point. It's like going to the pub after work, but instead you go to the Christmas market with your colleagues, with your friends, and you go to the glühwein stalls. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few of them. And you have some glühwein Warschau as an after-work drink. Monica, you did actually highlight that traditional proper Christmas markets, you get this little pottery mug with the symbol of the Christmas market, or the town's Christmas market, and the town, you know, Weihnachtsmarkt Mannheim or so, and they are actually collector's items, and you have to pay a deposit to drink. So you pay, I don't know, €3, €4 for a mug of Glühwein, plus maybe €1 or €1.50 deposit.
Oh, it's more than that.
Okay.
Two or three. It's inflation, Frank.
Inflation, yeah. Okay, so this is where I need your help. €2 to €3 deposit, because they are a collector's item and they go and get nicked. Yeah, borrowed permanently.
Yes.
You know, promise to bring it back next year. So you go there, and then you sort of walk into this busy but somehow quiet place. Imagine it's all dark outside, and you've got these little huts selling all the Christmas stuff, some of it kitsch, some of it quite nice Christmas decorations. Some of them made traditionally, some of them made in China, and imported. Traditional stalls selling leather goods and clothing and things like that. So it's sort of this subdued busyness. Little bright lights everywhere, fairy lights and twinkling lights and so on. So it's a really cozy, warm atmosphere. And it sort of blocks out the cold, and you're dressed in, you know, winter clothes. So you've got thick coats on and things like that. Maybe a hat and a scarf to keep the back of your neck warm in Fruit Loop's case. and then you walk in and you smell all of these spices, because it's just, you know, there's the food that gets sold. So not only the traditional things like the cinnamon and the nutmeg and the aniseed that goes into the Glühwein, all that, but you also smell the food that you can buy there. So you drink your Glühwein, you go to one stall, and maybe you go to another stall, and they will sell you the Bratwurst, you know, the grilled or the grilled sausage, a proper sausage. Not these little thin, you know, Wiener Würstchen or Frankfurters or whatever you call them, hot dog sausages, but, you know, proper sausage. And they would have this on this huge swinging grill, Schwenkgrill, we call it in German. And there's probably about, you know, 30, 40 sausages all sort of grilling away, you know, enjoying the warmth of the fire, that sort of the embers underneath it. And this thing's probably about 1.50 meters in diameter. It's hanging on a tripod. And it's sort of swinging gently. You might find some pork chops on it or something like that. And then you get yourself a nice proper German bread roll. None of this American, you know, stuff where you need to go to the dentist afterwards because it's full of sugar. A nice proper German bread roll. You get your sausage in there, mustard or ketchup, and depending where you are in Germany, it could also be with mayonnaise, or your pork chop. Then you go in. So you've got one hand, you've got your Glühwein, and the other hand, you've got your food, and you're standing there, drink, talk, you know. And it can be really bitter cold, but you don't feel it because you're just embalmed in this warm, cozy, festive atmosphere. Yeah. Christmas markets are special, but there's a downside to all of this. The ones in the smaller towns are actually nicer because they haven't become tourist attractions. Yeah. So I avoid the Strasbourg market like the plague, because it's too big. It's spread all over the city. You have to go through security checks to get into the city center because there was a terrorist incident a few years ago. And of course, everything is barricaded. And I mean, the people who actually live in the city center, it's really difficult for them to get home because, you know, there's thousands of people milling around and identity checks and bag checks and so on and so forth. So that sort of is the downside. And it is just overcrowded. Yeah. Mm. For a bit of escapism and light relief, because my mother and I spent New Year's Eve and Christmas alone. Mary was in the UK. I decided we would go to Strasbourg on New Year's Day, thinking that it might actually be a little quieter. Wrong. It was mayhem. Yeah. So to go to a Christmas market with some friends or some colleagues, if it's a small one like the one in Baden-Baden, that's still quite cozy.
That was a lovely one we went to with your mum.
Yeah, cozy and intimate. They are nice. I would avoid Stuttgart, Strasbourg, Nuremberg, which is sort of like one of the biggest in Germany.
It's on my list.
Is it? Well, good luck.
Colmar was nice.
Colmar is manageable, but to get to the really nice ones where you have the it's Kaisersberg. I've never been. It's about 100 kilometers south of here. It's in this old medieval village, and you have these narrow cobblestone streets and the medieval houses, and then dotted along, you have these little huts, and they're all almost identikit. You know, you go to one Christmas market, and you've basically seen them all. But just, you know, just the sort of the medieval feel to it, the warmth, the coziness, the festivity, the lights, the smells, the taste of the food. I mean, French food is different to German food, so you'll get different types of things here. In the smaller towns here, they tend to only open on a weekend. So our own Christmas market, which has actually become quite nice over this, sort of we've created more space and in Wissenburg, and it's quite nice. It's only open on a Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Yeah. And there is one place, there's a hut there from the Ardèche Mountains, which is sort of just south of Lyon. And they sell saucisson. They sell pork sausage. And it's either made from wild boar or donkey or ostrich or some really, really weird meats. And then spiced with mushrooms or peppers or some really weird combinations. And I tend to leave a fortune there because there's nothing nicer than to take one of these, you know, probably about 10 of these sausages. And you smell them. You've got all this smell coming from agriculture and production. Anybody hungry yet?
I just had lunch, so I'm okay.
And then you come home, and then you, in the comfort of your own home, you have a little vat of blue wine bubbling away, and so the kitchen and the house, you know this, Janita. Now the kitchen and the house has this warmth of mulled wine coming to it, and then you've got a nice sharp knife, and then you sort of look at this beautiful sausage laying on the chopping board, and yes, and I'm going to eat you now, and you go chop chop chop, and then you start eating, yeah.
Is it pre-cooked or is it like a salami?
It's a bit like a salami.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Preserved, made or processed.
Yeah, cured meat.
Yes.
Cured meat. But different types of animals. And you don't really taste the difference that much. Yeah. So I mean, we talked about this a couple of days ago, didn't we? So when you said, you know, I said, oh, you ate donkey and you've eaten frog legs and things like that.
Well, when you mentioned the wild boar, I actually tasted wild boar. I know what that tastes like.
Yeah. But I mean, there's so much garlic and fat and other stuff mixed into it that you know, you
peppercorns.
Have to Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the Christmas markets. Some of them sell quite nice knickknacks, but it's just this very special atmosphere. And they sort of open along the Advent Sunday, so they usually open just before the first Advent weekend in Baden-Baden, because there's a lot of Russian, or was, not anymore, but a lot of Russian influence in Baden-Baden. A lot of Russians used to come to Baden-Baden, go to the casino, spend their fortunes, have second homes there, etc. That's all, for obvious reasons, fallen by the wayside. But the Christmas market there goes until the 6th of January or somewhere around that date to allow for the Orthodox Christmas to be respected as well. That's the official reason. But these are commercial places. And during COVID, when these markets were closed down, the howl of protest was enormous. People's livelihoods were at stake. It was that serious. Yeah. That's a German Alsatian Christmas market. But like I said, Monica would probably.
I've done a survey of them. What Frank said before I went there, what surprised me coming from Australia, the security, like we caught the train to Strasbourg and our hotel was about 10 minutes walk from the railway station. And you couldn't get closer to the barricades, and you'd see groups of five police walking around with a machine gun.
Mm.
And, it's just really foreign concept coming from here. But the one in Cologne, which is about half an hour from where my family are, someone put an empty suitcase there. And so the market got evacuated. We were going to go there that day, but it was just, there was nothing in it, but they did it to cause panic. But the markets would get really busy, like Frank said, after work. We'd go during the day. Then the one in Strasbourg, Claire, recommended some restaurants. So we went to one of them, which was delicious. So we figured people after work and people with their families would go at night, once the kids had finished school. So we went during the day, but they were nice. And the one in Germany where Frank's mum took us was lovely. And then back in Düsseldorf, and one in Geneva was nice, it was on the river. And the one on the Rhine in Germany. I've done a survey, but if you'd see someone carrying a porcelain mug, you'd say, where was the store you got it from? So it was like more and more just the plastic ones. And, so I wrapped them all in bubble wrap and in my socks, in my clean socks, and got them back to Australia. And so, yes, I've got a collection of Christmas or mugs from different Christmas markets.
I avoid Strasbourg like the plague during Christmas, but I mean, I think this year I'm going to have to bite the apple, partly because I want to show Janita all of this.
You have to torture yourself just to show me what it looks like.
We just have to come over. But it's not only just the Christmas market, the French, and in Strasbourg in particular, they really go to town with the decorations of the house facades. Yeah. So they've got like stuffed bears and animals hanging on the windowsills outside, and boxes of presents sort of hanging on the walls. And it really, really is phenomenal. And you've got this what, the Quartier d'Or in Strasbourg, just off the side of the cathedral. It's like really narrow streets. There are some rather good and expensive food shops there that sell foie gras and all the kinds of delicacies and the high-end wines and so on. Couple of cafes and coffee shops. It's like probably about 2 or 3 meters wide and really tall. And you sort of push your way gently through the crowd and you look up and you've got polar bears clutching the facades and boxes wrapped in, cellophane and gift paper, brightly colored gift paper stuck around as well. Piped music coming out from loudspeakers, so Christmas music as well, sort of flooding the streets. Not loudly, but audible enough to hear it, but not to make you disturb it. And it's a really special atmosphere. Yeah, it's a really special, cozy, cuddly, warm atmosphere. Yeah. So there you go.
Is the same, or does it also happen if there's a market, like during the week it's a bit quieter, but on weekends it's packed?
What, an ordinary farmer's market or anything like that?
No, not really a farmer's market, but like the Christmas market.
It depends where you are. So, in Strasbourg, it's always packed 24/7. Yeah. So when it opens in the morning to when it's closed, and it's because they market it very, very effectively.
Okay.
It's you know, Christmas. Strasbourg calls itself the capital of Christmas.
Okay.
And they really, really market it.
Yes.
If you go midweek in the evenings, it's going to be full because of the after work scenario. Probably not as full as the weekends when families go into them. And during the day, it's actually a bit of an anticlimax. It's sort of like, because the Christmas markets really come into their own when it's dark outside and all the lights are blinking and bustling and the smells are there. During the day, it's a bit like, well, it's just like an ordinary market selling cheap stuff at inflated prices. And drinking mulled wine at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Those who want to, fine, you know.
like the Aussies.
You know, I...
All the Americans want to go to them. There's all these Facebook pages, Magical Christmas Markets of Europe, or all of, and they ask, all these Americans say, which Christmas markets do you recommend? Or there's cruises along the Rhine, for example, and then they stop in at a few of these towns.
Yeah.
But all these Americans say, which ones do you recommend? You know, Vienna or Nuremberg and all which ones? And
And the problem is that because the dollar is sort of, you know, becoming the exchange rate parity is changing. Europe is actually becoming cheaper for the Americans. So we're going to get more of them. Okay, well, not welcome. I say this wrongly. So I was going to say something else, but and then, of course, I've got to shut up then. The farmers markets in Paris, that's a whole different ball game as well. The food markets, a bit like Adelaide Central Market, but c'est la France, c'est Paris. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to ask one last question. It's a silly question. And if you think about this market or this place that you described, if the furniture or a product could talk, what would they gossip about? If a furniture piece, a chair or a table from this place you spoke about first, Rosie, or a product, maybe a glass of wine, if it could talk, what would it gossip about? Would it talk about other people? Would it talk about the vibe? Do you understand, Rosie?
I don't think so. So sorry.
Do you know what is gossip?
Ah, gossiping. Uh-huh.
Gossip, yes. Okay.
Yes.
So this place that you spoke about. If there's a chair or a table or maybe some flowers that could gossip, what would they gossip about from this place that you spoke about?
Okay, now I got you.
Okay.
I am thinking about who wants to start, because I am thinking about.
Okay. Monica, do you have an idea?
I'd think what the flowers or one of the other inanimate objects there would say. You go there just to get a few things, but then you see all these delicious things that you weren't intending to buy. Oh, just get a bit of this cheese or some of this freshly baked bread and this sausage and all these amazing things. There was a stand of small goods is there, and you'd buy all these or Leberkäse, all these things you didn't intend to buy. You know, you went there to get your fresh fruit and vegetables and a few things. And then you say, oh, just have that. Or they've got all this, they've got two really nice shops that just sell nuts and dried fruit. And so you go for a few things and you buy heaps more. So you totally blow your budget, you know. So you think you might be saving money by going to the market rather than your local fruit and veggie shop. But you buy all these things that have attracted, you know, your eyes and your senses. And you thought, I just have to have a bit of them. And yeah, it often happens. Like you go for a few things and like you have those pushing, those trolleys you push. So you don't have to carry everything. But yeah, there's all these extra things you never knew you needed in your life. And so you buy them and take them home. And so you get home and there's another shop called Giganis, which is originally Greek, and you'd get sauerkraut. And if you buy things by multiples of six, it's cheaper. So it's, you know, it's near Port Road, it's near the city, but all this sauerkraut and all the foreign foods from everywhere. But, you know, if you buy six, it's cheaper. So, you know, I've come home with the sauerkraut with carrot in it and all the different permutations. And then says, John, I've done load this. And but it's all these great things, which you didn't know you needed till you saw them there.
Okay.
Frank just shakes his head.
I know a little bit about your Christmas shopping when you went to France. So,
but yeah, the yummy foods things, like, you know,
the Christmas decorations.
The Christmas decorations. Yes, my reputation goes before me.
They're already getting ready for you in December, Monica. Oh, she's coming to town. Oh my God.
Yeah, I actually told Frank, I think it was last night, that if we have a Christmas market, you shouldn't come because there's a lot of things that you will buy for your Christmas room.
you're hindering the growth of the South African economy. I mean, the GDP will probably increase by 1% when Monica arrives here.
Several rand.
And if she leaves John behind, it'll go up by 2%. Yeah.
But then I have no one to carry it. Yeah,
the South African post does leave a bit to be desired, apparently. So that might be a problem. But
okay, Natalie, if there was a furniture piece or a product from one of your markets that could talk, what would they gossip about?
Natalie,
you're on mute.
Natalie, micro. Voilà.
There we go.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, Janita, you have so imagination that I don't have, really. very difficult for me.
Right, working.
I don't know what the article could tell, could think. Just on the stores in front of people, I think that the goal is to be bought. Yeah. So I think the article could tell, hey, can you buy me? I am a good article. I am very beautiful for all your decoration or something like that. I don't really know.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Rosie, did you manage to think of something? What would they gossip about?
I don't know. Maybe a vase of a flower on the table. Yeah.
Okay.
Rosie, you don't know what happened yesterday here.
What happened yesterday?
Yes, what happened here yesterday? There was a couple and they were fighting because the woman was looking for other men and the man was jealous and they fight. I don't know. I just imagination here because
Why was the woman looking for another man?
Maybe looking at another man.
Yes, looking at. Are the woman man was looking at the woman? The woman was so brave, so angry. I don't know, just an imagination. And everybody here was looking at, and oh my God, this woman is crazy. I don't know.
Maybe her husband didn't let her buy the things at the market. That's why she was looking for another man. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we don't know. This is a gossip. This is a good gossip, right?
It's good gossip.
Yeah. Okay. Frank is only look at me, observing me.
Well, now it's his turn to tell us what his furniture piece or product would gossip about.
Well, it was prompted by something I saw a couple of days ago, and you just couldn't look away. There was a man walking around in a T-shirt that was too short for him. And his beer belly was protruding from underneath.
I'm a Thompson.
And you just, on the one side, you were totally repulsed by this. But you could tell him you could gently see he was provoking. On the other side, you wanted to say, look, you know, look, there's a T-shirt there for €3. Get one your size. You know? So taking that, I would love to eavesdrop on conversations. When two objects are standing in the shelf and they're exchanging snippets of conversation about the clothes people wear, how they get dressed, and what they say and do, you know, they say, like, what is she wearing? I mean, doesn't she realize the color doesn't suit her? And does she have to have makeup on that is an inch thick? If she smiles, it'll crack, which is probably why she doesn't smile, because it'll crack her makeup. And then, you know, men are not any better. But does he have to wear white ankle socks pulled up to his knee with his sandals? Does he have no taste? And of course, the protruding beer belly thing he's bald. Why does he have to have a little patch of hair in the front there just to make, you know, to hide his baldness? And so,
or a ponytail.
Hang on, don't go against ponytails. All right, that's still one of my on my bucket list. Yeah. I just can't wash the hair all the time, you know. I'm just looking at Janita's ponytail now. She shows it and say, you know, God, how do you, you know, it's always a ritual. I'm going to wash my hair, but which, you know, any partner, you know, when a woman says to her partner, I'm going to wash my hair, basically the bathroom's closed for the next 6 hours because it's such a long day.
I don't take that long.
Okay. Anyway, so the gossip of observing people. Sorry, yes, I do observe people. just, you know, what are they wearing? And then, of course, to catch on with what Rosie said, what are they talking about? Yeah. She really doesn't love him. Yeah. She's really out to get his money. And really having, I mean, I think in my next life, I'm going to be an object in a shop, in a cafe, and I'm going to acquire magical powers and advanced artificial intelligence, and I'm going to transcribe these conversations and these observations and then produce my own gossip journal, and I will be rich as a flower pot or something like that. And someone comes up and they say, well, no, don't buy me because I've got a full-time job here. Yeah, you know, not even MasterCard, you know, for everything else there's MasterCard. No, your MasterCard limit will not cover my costs. You know?
Yes, that's a very good idea. You'll be a rich object. Have your own Spotify channel and talk shows.
There's one. Yes. Oh, there's an idea if ever I heard one. Thank you, Yanni.
Okay. Very good. Do you think we should wrap it up?
It's your show.
My show. Okay, I think so.
I'm hungry. It's 9 minutes to one.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So I'll thank each and every one of you. Rosie, thank you so much for joining. Natalie, thank you very much for joining, even if you had some problems hearing us. Monica, thank you very much for you as well. At first, I thought you weren't going to come, and then you popped up.
No, I sent my apologies to the mayor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the mayor didn't inform me. That's okay.
Tell me something I don't already know.
We were too busy practicing a seance. Can you hear me? Are you there? No, I'm joking. Okay. Frank, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun. And it's also nice to hear about different markets and different places and now what people do. It's all a different experience, and I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Happy to oblige. Okay.
Happy to do more research for the record
button.
Christmas.
Stop the record button, and then we can continue gassing. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Take care.
You
Have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Wait.